great to have you here with us at our gathering. If you're here for the first time, welcome. If you're here for the 100 millionth time, welcome to you as well. It's our honor just to basically be here together, be gathered, and just, I guess, just to honor God, but also welcome you into that as well. So it's quite an exciting day. Now, some of you, I know, are still recovering from 2 weeks ago, if you're a Liverpool fan. I was brought up in a household where there is, my dad actually is a Liverpool supporter, and many of you will know that it was the Champions League final against Real Madrid two weeks ago, and I know some of you are still recovering from the defeat, the stunning defeat of Liverpool by Real Madrid. Now, I don't know if you're into football or if you watch this match. Can I just encourage you, if you hate football, you need to see the stunning goal from Gareth Bale, who incidentally is actually a UK football player, but he plays for Real Madrid. I was going to do a demonstration of what he did, but you actually just need to watch it. So go on YouTube, search Gareth Bale goal, Champions League final 2018. You will find that bad boy. Let me tell you, it was epic. I grew up watching the Champions League on a Wednesday night when it used to be on a Wednesday night with my dad. We would sit down with a snack, maybe have a beer, and just watch Champions League. So I went round to watch the match with him and witnessed that amazing defeat. You know, I love Liverpool. Actually, I feel like I kind of have to. But it was such a defeat. You know, what I want to actually bring the focus on in all of that, because I'm getting off track, is the Real Madrid manager, as was at the time, Zinedine Zidane, who is one of the most renowned football players in the world. He coached them. You know, the amazing thing is, as he coached them to victory, that was actually the third Champions League title that they'd won in that time that he coached them. And actually, in that time, that was their ninth title in 2 years that they won. Listen, it was absolutely unbelievable. And then I was at work 3 or 4 days later. I get a little notification on my phone. We'll pop it up on the screen now, guys, if you've got it. And it said this. Zidane left Real Madrid, because he resigned, in the same way he coached them, with a calm authority that will be hard to replace. And it got me thinking about this word, authority, and particularly that it was preceded by the word calm. I was like, how can you have a calm authority? Now, we'll get into that in a little bit, but it also just triggered to me about the most amazing man that ever walked the earth, Jesus Christ, who led with a calm authority and left with a calm authority. Now, before you walk out because you think, I'm going to compare Jesus to Zinedine Zidane, I'm not. It was just one of those moments where it was like a bit of a divine dot to dot, and I had this thought of something I want to share with you this morning. So I've called this message, Under Your Feet. All will be revealed. Okay, first of all, if you have a Bible with you, if you'd like to turn or click to Ephesians chapter 1, if you don't, fear not, it will be on screen. And I'm going to read from the Message version of this Bible. It's like a poetic expression of the Bible. And I just want to read to you two really important scriptures about authority. And I want to unpack a little bit about what that looks like in our life for us, whether you're a person of faith or not this morning. Beginning at Ephesians 1, verse 15, it says this. I ask the God of our Master, Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent, yes, please, God, and discerning in knowing him personally. Your eyes focused and clear so that you can see exactly what it is he is calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for his followers. Oh, the utter extravagance of the work in us who trust him. Endless energy and boundless strength. And this is verse 20 where I really want you to focus. All this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from death and set him in a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe, everything from galaxies to governments, no name and no power exempt from his rule. And not just the time being, but for forever. He is in charge of it all, and he has the final word on everything. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world, but the world is actually peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body, in which he speaks and acts, and by which he fills everything with his presence. You know, we have an amazing truth that we live with today, that all things have been placed under Christ's feet. Another version of that text in Ephesians 1, speaking of Jesus, says that he's put all things under his feet. You know, we could go home after that, because the things that we battle and the situations and the seasons of life that we enter, we fear very often in our human self naturally, because we forget that Jesus has put all things under his feet. It says earlier in Ephesians chapter, verse 20 or 21, no name and no power is exempt from his rule. Not just for the time being, but forever. He's in charge of it all. He has the final word on everything. So first of all, Christ has the authority. And if you walk with him, if you surrendered your life to Jesus, he has authority. And not only does he have authority over you and over the situations you live in, but he has given you an authority because you follow him to speak to the darkness in your life and to speak to the bad seasons in your life. Romans chapter 12, verses 35 to 37. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? And then we're going for a Rachel Calland embellishment, or going through divorce or broken or just broke, struggling with financial difficulty, you're losing your friends, you're stuck, you feel like you're in a dead-end job, you feel like you're in a dead-end life. No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. You know, if you follow Christ, you are, another version says, you are more than a conqueror. Yeah. How can you be more than a conqueror? How can you be better than the best? Because the best won it on your behalf. Because this isn't a conquering that you've done. This is a victory that has been won on your behalf by Jesus Christ, coming as a man to earth, fully God, fully man, surrendering his entire life to God the Father so that you might know him and have fullness and freedom. And so you're more than a conqueror. But this left me with a question. If we are more than conquerors, and if we have overwhelming victory in Christ, how is it that we feel very often that we're stuck in a place where we cannot overcome certain things? Because that was a real question to me, because your present reality, and I know quite often my present reality, is that I might stand as with the identity of an overcomer, but my present reality is not that, and I feel that I'm still trying to overcome. You know, the truth is that if you find God for yourself, that you're an overcomer by design, but you are also overcoming some things. You know, I love the truth of God. I love the word of God. But our present reality sometimes just does not line up with the things that we say we see are ours in Scripture. And I hope and I pray today that as we look, I hope you can locate yourself, that there are some things that are already under your feet. And once you were drowning in them, but you're not anymore, they're under your feet. And for those of you who today feel like you're drowning in an ocean, that you will be able to locate yourself and recognize that there is an authority greater than your authority and greater than just what you've survived or experienced. And he wants to rescue you. He wants to pull you out. And so, you know, I was talking to you before about this bit of divine dot to dot. I feel that this is how God speaks to me. And sometimes I always second guess if it's God, because I pick up on something that I read on my phone, or that somebody says, or that I've watched in a film, or I listen to in a song, and it kind of just won't leave me. So this happened to me a few weeks prior to this alert that I got on my phone about Zidane leaving Real Madrid, and it was something that I'd seen online, and it was a quote, and it said this: authority is not what you know, it's what you survive. Authority is not what you know, it's what you survive. Let me give you an example. You can know till the cows come home about what it's maybe you think it's like to lose a partner or to lose a parent to an illness, for example. And you may know a lot about that, but when you've actually walked through that and you've come out on the other side and you have survived, there is a certain authority that comes with that experience. Now, whether you're a faith or in God or not this morning, I believe that's true of our lives, that when we've walked through something, authority is not just about gaining more understanding or gaining more knowledge, but it's about actually what you've survived. It's what you've walked through, and you begin to carry an authority. You know, we place way too high of a premium on what we know. We live in the age of information, in case you hadn't already known and already seen. You can access information so easily now that I think some people just wonder, why do I even bother going and doing a degree? Because I could read all this on Wikipedia. Now, I'm not recommending that you get all of your information from Wikipedia. But there is so much knowledge around us, but at the same time, we're crying out for some wisdom. And, you know, I believe in many people in this room today. You don't just know about some stuff, but you've survived some stuff, and you've walked through some stuff. And actually, the world and other people in this room need a picture of not just what it's like to know a lot of stuff, but what it's like to survive some stuff and have done it in a godly way, which is by being obedient to Him and not just doing what you think you were supposed to do or what somebody told you to do, but that you were obedient, and through it, you've grown in wisdom and you've grown in authority, and that there are some things under your feet. Yeah. Do you know there are certain things in your life that they need to transfer from just being knowledge to being wisdom? Yeah. Not just for your sake, but for the sake of the people in your world, for your family, for this church community, for the people in your workplace, for the people you hang out with, for the people you spend the majority of your time with. It has to transfer from just being here to being here. And something you've walked, something you've survived, there is a great authority that some things are under your feet. And because you stay quiet about it, the enemy uses it actually against you. Sometimes that he would silence you, and we'll come on to that in a minute, because there's something in you that needs to come out. So here's my question before we kind of move on to locating ourselves this morning. What is under your feet that you were once drowning in? What is now under your feet that you were once drowning in? In other words, what have you survived that at one point in your life you felt that you would not survive? You felt that you were drowning, that it was the end, or that it was the end of life as you knew it so far? Because what I want us to do this morning in the time we have is just to locate where we are. Because I know many of you are sat in here and you're thinking, well, do you know what? At the minute, Rachel, I don't feel like many things are under my feet. I actually feel like I'm drowning and being tossed around and I have no control over it. You know, we're going to look at that. We're going to look at maybe being somewhere in the middle. But also, I want to say right at the outset and right at the word go, that there are some things under your feet that you have a responsibility and you owe it to this world to begin to share, to begin to talk about, to begin to encourage, not because you're so great and you put these things under your feet, but because the God of heaven sent his Son and he put all things under his feet, and because you walk in his authority, they are now also under your feet. So where are you today? You might be drowning. You know, I don't say that lightly. I love swimming in the ocean, but the ocean's pretty dangerous. If you get caught out too far, or if you get swept up and you get onto a bit of a current, I don't know what you're like. I love just like swimming out to sea and bobbing up and down. And also, when I was younger and we went on holiday, my dad would be like, get back, get back. I was like, why? I'm having a good time, like bobbing up and down. I could see him waving from the shore, like, come back. I'm just like, yay. But I don't know if you've ever been in a sea and you think, this is great, but I'm also starting to lose a little bit of control. And the waves start flapping up at your face and you've swollen a bit of seawater. And before you can get up to take a breath again, another wave comes and hits you. You know, in the season and the circumstance of life, you may feel right now that that's you. A particular diagnosis you've been given, a relationship that's breaking down, a situation you find yourself a part of, maybe at work or at home or with your friends, that you just feel that you're drowning and you're swallowing seawater quickly. And the fact is that you need rescuing. You know, sometimes when you completely come to the end of yourself and there is nothing else you can do, you need rescuing. Have you ever needed rescuing before? I have. Not physically out of the water, but in times of my life where I've been completely at the end of myself, I've read every book, I've spoke to people, I've tried everything, but I just need rescuing. Do you know the good news today is that Jesus Christ is a rescuer. Among other things, he rescues. And you may be here and you're not a person of faith in Jesus. Can I encourage you that the good news for you today is that it might be your first time rescue. You may be drowning. You may be thinking, I just don't get this thing about life. It just doesn't make sense. Things are okay, but what's the point of everything? And a million other thoughts that could be going through your head. You know, the good news to you today is that Jesus Christ rescues. That doesn't mean that everything stops. Sometimes the calm doesn't happen straight away. Sometimes you still feel that you are drowning. But you know, I believe the promise of God's living word and the promise of scripture is this. When you walk through the fire, you're not going to be burned. When you're in the river or you're in the sea, you will not drown. So you may feel that you are drowning wherever you are now. But the promise of God is that you will not drown. I felt like I've been drowning. I've never actually drowned. And the feeling is horrible. And it's scary when you're in the water and you're being bounded up and down. You know, I just thought of a story that I'm going to tell because it's kind of tight. But anyway, it's about my sister. I remember one of my sisters, we went many years ago to like Butlins or somewhere. And we were in a wave pool. I was about 10 at the time. Listen, I've never had official swimming lessons. I can swim, but I'm not that great. I couldn't do my personal survival where you put clothes on. I was just like, that sounds like such hard work. Don't go swimming with me. I probably can't save you. Sorry. My sister, who really couldn't swim, she still does a doggy paddle now. I'm not going to name who she is, but she sat down there. We were in the wave pool, and you know when the waves really get going, and it's like all fun and games at first, but you get to a point where you're just like, I'm not handling this so great anymore. And me being me, even at 10 or 11 years old, was thinking, I can do this. She's like going under the water, like, oh. I'm like, oh, crap. Anyway, I don't know if I should have said that. But she was basically getting water up in her face, and the lifeguard had to get in and get her out. Well, I don't even know if my parents were there, but I remember just thinking, this is dangerous. You know, the good thing is that when you're in deep water, Jesus wants to come and he wants to get you out. You know, sometimes the calm doesn't still straight away. It doesn't happen straight away. In that wave pool, I was thinking, I can't rescue my sister here. I didn't want to admit it, but I couldn't. She needed rescuing. You know, if you've been rescued before, if you're in here and you're a person of faith, can I just encourage you? Now's the time to get a good memory. Now's the time to get a good memory, because if, like me, you have a pretty terrible memory about short-term things, I've got a good long-term memory, I've got a terrible short-term memory. Sometimes we've got to refer back and call to mind the times that God has rescued us before. We can be so consumed by the waves and by the pool or the sea that we're stuck in that we forget that there is a God who is faithful and he's pulled us out before. And actually, even when he hasn't pulled us out straight away, there's been a peace and a calm within you that is, and a hope that is anchored, as the word says, your soul, so that you have not drowned and you are still here. Remember, authority comes from what you have survived, not just from what you know. And you have survived thing after thing, time after time. And sometimes you have to begin to get a good memory and call to mind, God, you're faithful. God, you're a healer. God, you are bigger than these things and these situations and these seasons that I can't control. You're bigger than it. And when we're in that drowning, all we do is we go ultimately to survival. We run on the only things that we can run on. We try and just survive. You know, the big thing and the hard thing to do when you're drowning is to begin to call to mind, God, you're a savior. God, you're a healer. God, you're a restorer. God, when I'm in the water, I might feel like I'm drowning, but you're not going to let me drown. And that is who you are. And I just encourage you, when you're drowning, try not in all mercy and kindness. Try not to have one of these, a pity party. Now, I'm going to tell you that nobody's ever had fun at a pity party. Can I tell you why? Because I've thrown quite a few in my lifetime for myself. And you know, especially in the past year, just in my own seasons of life, I've thrown a pity party for myself. Does anybody remember that song from school? I'm having a pity party, would you like to come? Bring your own bread and butter and your own cream bun. That's kind of like what we do sometimes. And I know, you know, I'm not talking about not grieving. I'm not talking about not being real and authentic about where we are. Absolutely. Can I encourage you to do that? Please. Don't put on a face. But neither do you want to put on your party hat. Because nobody's ever had a good time at a pity party. And can I tell you what? You won't ever have a good time at your own pity party or anybody else's. You know, when you feel self-pity. Oh, just ruined my hair. And when you feel in a place where you need to express, or you need to cry, or you need to shout, or whatever it is when you're drowning, can I encourage you, get some people around you who will love you through it. They will allow you to walk through it, but will not allow you to descend into pity. You know, the worst thing about pity parties is you always have a hangover after. You do. Because it never makes you feel any better. You always feel 10 times worse. And the thing is, you remember everything that happened. It sucks. You wake up and you carry on just feeling sick and feeling lower and feeling down. You know, the remedy to pity is thanksgiving. I believe it wholeheartedly. You know, when you experience self-pity, because who knows, when you're drowning, you think, why me? That's what I think. Why me? Why is this happening again? God, I thought you loved me. I thought you were with me. I thought you were for me. These circumstances do not feel like things that are for me. We've just been singing, you're for me, not against me, but I don't feel like you're for me at all. Can I encourage you? Pick one thing, pick two things that you can begin to say, God, thank you for this. God, thank you that I got out of bed this morning. You know, when you're not in a place of drowning, that sounds like, well, so what? When you're drowning, the fact that you managed to get out of bed and go to work is a pretty big deal. And sometimes we just need to begin to thank God. You know, when we know him, we can thank him for the things he's given us. And you know, even if you're in here today and you don't know him, just begin to thank him. God, you've given me a family. Or God, I don't have to sleep rough tonight. Or, you know, sometimes the things that we just absolutely take for granted, resist the pity party and begin to thank God. The second thing is this, you might be wading. I just love being in the ocean, in case you hadn't noticed. But have you ever been in it up to about this deep, waist deep? And it's still fun and everything, and you're not drowning anymore, but you're still wading through the water. And as much as you feel like you can breathe a little bit more, you're still not completely on dry ground. And I think many of you today, you're in this place of wading. At some season or some point or something in your marriage or in your home or in your health, and you have had a little bit of breakthrough, and maybe you're not where you were, you're not completely drowning anymore, but you feel kind of awkward because you're stuck in the middle. The middle is an exciting place to be sometimes, but also it's a terrifying place to be. I think the enemy of our soul comes for us a lot when we're in the middle. I think sometimes when we're in the middle, we fear about speaking when we're beyond our situation or beyond our season because of our past disappointment. And sometimes because we're not quite on dry land, we still feel vulnerable. We still feel like we're at sea, and we still feel like although we can feel the sand and the pebbles underneath our feet, we're still not quite in the clear yet. The reality is that you're still wading. And maybe some of the things that God wants to give you authority in and put some things under your feet, maybe you feel that they're not quite under your feet yet. You still feel the sand, but the water's rushing around you and the waves are still going. In that season, can I tell you one of the best things you can do is begin to speak? Even if your reality is that you're still not out of the woods, or you're still not completely out of that waist-deep water, and you know that in a minute a wave could come and carry you back out to where you've been before, I believe, as I said, the enemy of our soul, it'll put you on gag order. You'll feel like you can't speak because you're frightened of what people think, because you don't want to say, I'm healed, or I'm fixed, or I'm through this, because it's not your present reality, which I understand. But can I encourage you that if you're a person of faith, the faith is the substance of things hoped for, things that are not here yet, the evidence of things that are not seen. And so I'm all for being authentic, but the problem is that the enemy of our soul, he will silence us if he can when we're waist deep and we're wading, because there's some things that need to be spoken to bring us out of that waist deep water so that we can be stood on dry ground. So you might feel that you're on gag order. You know, I think it's actually in John chapter 8, Jesus begins to talk about the devil, the enemy of our soul. And he says this, that he does not tell any truth. That basically there is no truth in him. And one version, I love it, he says that he speaks only his native language. His native language of lies. And so when you've come out of that depth and you've come out of a place of drowning and you enter this waste level that's a bit more comfortable, you're still frightened. I think very often what the enemy seeks to do is to bring us into shame, either because what we're still dealing with or what we've done or what we've come through or what we're coming through. And he wants to put a silence on you because he knows that as you speak words of life and as you speak words in faith and as you speak words of truth, maybe not about your present reality but where you're moving to, that it does something to you. It keeps you in a place of fear. It keeps you just in that wading through the water when you really want to get out and stand on dry ground. You know, some of you, because of your past experience or because of maybe things that you've done wrongly in the past, the enemy of your soul speaks to you like, no one will understand. You are so much worse than them. You know, these people here, they've done some bad stuff, but it's never as bad as what you've done. And they won't understand. They don't care. And if you tell anybody, they'll ostracize you. And if you speak about that, no one will get it. And actually, you don't really have anything to say anyway, and you can't really help anyone. You can't even get out of bed on time, so why would you think you can help anyone? You know, the truth is, because we listen to lies so often, the truth is, and the living word says, that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. That simply means we've all fallen short of God's best and God's perfection. And the enemy will shame us, and he will shame you and silence you, because your story or your past is worse than somebody else's. And it's not worthy of being brought out onto dry land, but you need to stay where you are and you need to keep wading and you need to keep silent because he doesn't want you to speak. Because, you know, when you've got some things under your feet, not only do you go in Christ's authority, but you carry an authority because of what you've survived. And we need to get this. Especially church in here, because you have walked and survived some stuff that at the minute it's still just contained within you. But you're not seeing that God's put an authority on you to speak, to write, to tell the story, to start the company, to start the charity, whatever it is, fill in the blank, that it was not just about rescuing you and saving you, although he did it because he loves you. You know, the amazing thing about God is he just never uses your story for you. He uses it for so many others. And for as long as we stay wading in that water, the authority isn't quite there. We've got to begin to speak some stuff to walk out of it. I have a beautiful niece. She's 3 years old. She's really cute, but simultaneously feral. She's lovely. And I mean that with all kindness because I do love her. A few months ago, I was at her house with her mom, my sister. And she kind of fell over. And we could tell that when she fell, she really hurt her knee. She was getting up and trying to carry on playing, but she was kind of dragging her leg a little bit. So we were saying, Eden, baby, are you okay? You know, you seem like you've hurt your knee. You seem like you've hurt your leg. Yeah, it's sore, it's sore. But she was trying to carry on like normal, and it was sore. Anyway, for some reason, we'd gone upstairs. She decided to run back down the stairs. And all of a sudden, she's running down with like this vitality of life, literally one foot in front of the other. Like this, running down. And she got to the bottom and she went, I'm fixed. I'm fixed, Auntie. Mommy, I'm fixed. Auntie Rachel, look, I'm fixed. And we were like, oh yeah, she looks pretty fixed. Until she walked into the living room and started going, I'm fixed. Guys, I'm fixed. Dragging her leg, literally dragging her leg around. I'm fixed, everybody, I'm fixed. And me and my sister were looking at each other like, is she okay? But you know, just in that moment, God spoke to me. She was speaking a statement of faith. Do you know, she wasn't fixed. Her knee, she was literally dragging her leg around. But you know, out of the innocence of her just believing she was fixed because she ran downstairs, it may look like foolishness, but it was a statement of faith in her brokenness. And some of you, you need to begin to actually speak statements of faith in your brokenness. It's not about, I'm fixed and I'm going to pretend everything's okay. Let's put a gloss over it. Let's put a sheen on it. Let's put a primer on it. I'm fantastic. It's like, no, this is where I am, but God, I believe with you, I'm healed, I'm fixed, I'm going to see the end of this, I'm going to come out of this season, I'm going to move through this, my mom's going to get healed, my dad's going to come to know you. Whatever it is, you fill in the blank. We need to begin to speak that, just remember Eden, dragging her leg round, I'm fixed. And we laugh, but it was a statement of faith. And we believe because of the God we believe in. Last but not least, some of you, there's some stuff that's under your feet. You know, you've been in these seasons before, you've been drowning, you've waded. Some of you now, you stand on dry ground, or at least you stand on a puddle. You know, I was just thinking about this, even this church community this week, and just from knowing some of you guys, just trying to reflect on and know some of the things that you've been through, I was pretty shocked and stunned, to say the least, about the goodness of God and his authority. And the things that you survived because of his authority, I just decided to list a few, but there are many more. Divorce, bankruptcy, fleeing your homeland, yeah. Abuse, self-harm, depression, losing a loved one, you've been orphaned, you've overcome addictions, abandonment, infertility, and guess what? You might feel a bit broken, but you've survived. So there is an authority in and on you for those things. You know, the people in this room, the people in your workplace, your friends, the people that you even don't know yet, for the sake of freedom and liberty and because of the goodness of the God that we serve, he wants to use your story, your drowning, your time of wading, for the freedom and the liberty to others. Because you know, God, in a minute, he can fix us. In a minute, he can heal us. In a minute, he can rescue us. But actually, I've noticed that very often, he uses us. He doesn't always just send the cavalry in. Actually, he did that when he sent Jesus. So now, what he does very often is he uses us. He uses our story. And you know, if we always stay quiet, or if we always keep things within, or if we kind of forget even some of the things we've survived, it's hard for God to use us in the fullness he wants to use us. You know, I believe even contained within this room this morning, there are so many stories and there is so much survival. And even if you're drowning and you're wading, there are some things that are actually firmly under your feet. And when you're drowning and you're wading, you can't see them because all you feel is being tossed about by your current wave and your current situation. You know, for the sake of this world, that stuff has got to start to come out. You've got to write the book. You've got to have the conversation. You've got to speak to the person. You've got to write the blog. You've got to start the company. You've got to start the charity. Whatever it is, and that is just a limited list. God wants to use that for something mighty. Not for you, but for his authority, because he brings freedom and liberty. And for as long as we sit and forget of what God's done, or we don't recognize actually that there's an authority on us to speak and to shout about some of the things, not that we've done, but that God's done and the things that he's placed firmly under our feet. Do you know, I believe we almost rob the world. We almost rob the world of the thing that God wants to give them. So what is under your feet? You know, if nothing else today, I want you to just go away with two things. One is a statement, one's a question. One's a truthful statement, one's a question. Firstly, that Christ has the authority over everything. You know, all things are under his feet. Not everything is under our feet. All things are under his feet. And the second thing is a question. What is under your feet? And not just what is under your feet, but how are you going to begin to use that to show people God's goodness? How are you going to be able to and begin to speak about it, live it, show it, have the conversation so that people can see they're no longer isolated, they're no longer alone, but somebody has walked this with grace. Sometimes they've got it wrong. Sometimes they've been disobedient, but actually they're a real living proof. You know, in the age of information, we can read and watch podcasts and read books that people have written till the cows can come home, but I still believe there is nothing like a living proof. Breathing proof of God's grace. And you are it. You might not feel like it. You might not sense that you've overcome enough things. Can I tell you, it's just a lie of the enemy that there are some things that you've broken through that people need to hear about. You need to show them your scars sometimes. Just closing thought. When Jesus came back from the dead, you know, just as you do, when he saw his disciples, he was met with some women first. I love that, by the way. Women were the first ones to see Jesus after he was resurrected, but he eventually went back to his disciples. And famously, doubting Thomas, as he's now known, which is a bit tight, but I think I'd doubt. I'd be like, whoa, you're back again, really? Jesus told him to put his hands on his scars to prove that he was real. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but I always wonder, why did Jesus, because he was resurrected, why did he come back in his old body? Now, I don't actually know the reason why. Was it just because so people could recognize him? I sometimes wonder, was there something about people seeing the scars of Jesus that just meant something so much more? I don't know. It's just a wonderment. But for you, there is something in your scars that it's not just because you're great and you were so strong and you overcame some stuff and you are overcoming, continuous present tense. But there is something in your scars that tells a story of the goodness, the faithfulness, and even better, the freedom of God.